Yeah.
Dave, where you been, man?
And it was just, I thought that song was longer.
Nah, Dave, the song's over, man. This is dead air, Dave. We can't have that.
Okay, well, it's just about 4 o'clock, and
we got a big show today, Dave. You gotta be ready.
You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea Kauai Community Radio. Time now for Out of the Box. I'm your host, Dave Giroux.
And I'm your co-host, Jonathan Jay.
The opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its board, underwriters, volunteers, or members.
Psst, Dave. Hey, Dave, put your headphones on, Dave. Come on.
Hello.
Yeah. Psst. Hey, we got a show to do, Dave. Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Jonathan Jay.
And I'm Dave Giroux from KKCR's premier call-in show, Out of the Box, on Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m.
Mark your out-of-the-box calendars for Thursday, October 17th, because we'll have a special guest in that day.
That's right. Mayor Bernard Carvalho Jr. will be our guest in the studio.
Join us in the conversation as we talk to the mayor about signing Bill 2491 into Kauai law.
And many other island issues, and taking calls from listeners like you.
Remember, that's Thursday, October 17th on Out of the Box from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on KKCR.
The station that loves you.
The station that loves you.
That's right. So.
Yay!
So we're expecting the mayor to be in the studio here any minute now.
Yeah, probably he and Beth are driving up the island right now.
They probably got caught in that traffic in Kapaa because the bypass road is closed because the county's doing work on it.
Oh, really? I was on the bypass road this afternoon.
It was closed at 2 when I went through there.
Huh, I was there before then.
Were you going north or south?
I was going north.
Yeah, well, I couldn't get on it there. Maybe he's stuck in traffic in Kapaa.
Well, I'm
Maybe
sure.
We
I'm sure.
Talk about the traffic in Kapaa when he gets here.
I'm sure wherever he is, he's very carefully driving the speed limit and observing all traffic laws.
That's right. So we have a couple minutes to. We could play some music. We can.
We can talk about
current events.
Talk about current events.
What is going on in the world?
Well, let's see. The government shutdown is over.
Yes. So
for the time being.
How was that resolved? I didn't get the full story on that.
Well, you know, I didn't get the full story on it either because I make a point not to pay attention to nincompoopery. So all that claptrap going on in the Beltway, I just kind of tuned it out. But as far as I can tell from a little editorial I read today, this morning, is the Republicans just blinked. The GOP just, you know, they said, we're going to shut down the government. And then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Everyone got all mad at the GOP, and so then the GOP just kind of said,
well, this really blew up in our face, so I guess we'll turn the government back on.
And I guess that's what they did. And but, you know, we have a lot of intelligent listeners out there, and maybe you know better than I do about what happened. Maybe you have the inside scoop on the government shutdown. Or maybe, like me, you don't think that it's that big of a deal, and you made a point to do other things like love your kids, appreciate the sunset, look at the clouds go floating by, you know, important things.
Right. So we just had a caller who wanted to talk to the mayor. We already got people lined up ready to talk to him here, so hopefully they'll show up soon. But with this resolution, whatever, to extend, they didn't actually extend the debt ceiling, or they didn't raise the debt ceiling. They just said, okay, you can run the government for the next 3 months or whatever it is, 3-4 months. And then we'll make some changes there. So they don't even have a cap on spending in the meantime.
That's awesome, right? That means they can go back to work.
Well, one thing I don't really... Yeah, they went back to work. And but the thing that
I'm just
concerns
glad
me about this whole thing is that, I mean, they're making it a big referendum between the Republicans and Democrats, you know, and the Tea Party. Supposedly the Tea Party is all at fault because they wanted to shut down Obamacare.
It's your fault.
Extending it. Yeah, and so they're all, you know, pointing fingers at each other, but nobody is talking about, you know, what is the impact of continuing to raise the debt every year? You know, I mean, so 3-4 months from now, we're going to be having the same situation, but we'll be talking about, you know, what do we raise it to $19 trillion?
Well, I just got a message here on my phone. It says it raised until February 6th.
February 6th.
February 6th, yeah. Okay. Now, I don't know who sent that to me, but that's what my phone says, so it must be true.
You got a pretty smart phone there.
I do have a pretty smart phone.
It knows what you're thinking about and what information you need.
Yeah.
You should have that thing plugged right into your ear so you don't even have to, like, answer it or something.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Dave, I can't do that.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave.
Anyway, so they're still not talking about the debt, and I think that's a big problem here. Not the debt ceiling limitations and, you know, the Tea Party and all of these other distractions. It's the debt. You know, who's going to pay that back?
Hopefully not me.
Start chipping in there.
Do you have a caller already?
I do.
Oh, well, let's get him on. This is the call-in talk show. The number is 826-7771. We don't have our guest in the studio yet, but he should be arriving shortly. And that's a dial tone, Dave.
Yeah, the light was on, but nobody was home. Okay, so they also allegedly created another super committee, is what they did last time. They made a super committee.
Super committee.
And that's super.
Super. You know,
they basically, you know, give them super powers to... to manage the budget in the meantime.
Who makes this stuff up? I mean, this is just, it's way too easy to mock.
It's not in the Constitution to allow, you know, a small group of people to run the country here for any length of time. So I'm kind of disturbed about that precedent that they're setting here. It's now the second time that they've done this. Although the first time, they never did anything. They were supposed to come up with a bunch of ways to trim spending in the government, the federal government, but they never did. They never came up with any... you know, resolution there.
Huh, well, let's see what this caller has to say. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Gentlemen, would you please explain to me the behavior and the change in Joanne Yukimura?
Wow, you know, that's a big question.
Well, and could you explain what you mean by that question?
Yeah, what did you perceive?
I saw a lady at Costco yesterday. She said, oh, the council passed the bill. And I go, what? So that I was, like, greatly relieved. I mean, I believe in miracles. That's beyond a miracle. And, you know, I always thought the world of Joanne Yukimura. I thought she was an enlightened individual. This just reflects my values and my prejudices, namely that she was a liberal like I am. I'm very proud of it.
You don't seem like you're ashamed of that label at all.
No, I'm not. The main thing is I just try to be an open-minded person. I mean... the only time I remember my parents crying was when Eisenhower was elected for the first time. The only time in my life, and my parents lived into their 80s. The only time I ever saw them cry is when Eisenhower, you know, was elected the first time. Because they were, my dad was born in 1896, my mom in 1911. They worked before unions were officially allowed. So if the boss said, you work 7 days a week, 15 hours a day, if you want your job, you had to do it. There was no sick leave. There was no paid anything. There was no, basically, you know, you were slaves. So, I mean, even though the conservatives have some good things to say, I mean, obviously, yes, we are working, you know, eventually, after all this quantitative easing.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Another euphemism, gentlemen. You know, then, yes, we are in deep financial kimchi, but the thing is, I came here in 85, and then I heard about the fight that, you know, over
Nuku'ali'i,
where the Hilton is,
right?
I guess, still. Anyway, and then how the people were so upset about the development, the tremendous development on the Garden Isle, and then all of a sudden, you know, I heard what, and then I remember, you know, Joanne's fine job as a mayor, and then it reminds me, then when I started seeing her behavior in recent years, gentlemen, it seems like, well, yes, she is a lawyer. So that, I guess, that's to tell the tale of the tale or whatever. That says a lot about, you know, I mean, as Shakespeare says, quote, first we kill all the lawyers, unquote.
Yeah, well, Shakespeare said a lot of things, didn't he?
He said a lot of wonderful things.
Yeah, he was a pretty quippy guy.
So, yeah, whoever he was, there's a lot of debate about that. But I just don't understand, you know, did someone get to Joanne Yukimura?
Well, what has she done has disappointed you?
Yeah, what makes you think that she's...
You know, I wasn't...
Well, let me ask you this, caller. What makes you think she's changed?
Well, I mean, I went to the old computer, the Island Breath, and I saw a little article on her behavior, how when she was positing this position like, well, you know, let's don't, you know, vote for the bill, let's let's defer the bill. And I guess almost a near riot broke out. And then people were like wondering, should they, you know, get a bunch of police to protect you on Yukimura because of the outrage of the folk. So I wasn't there. I don't know the full story, but I just can't believe the change in her, seemingly change in her values. You know?
Just about this one topic, then.
And then, well, another thing, I went to the old computer, because I try to limit my electromagnetic exposure, and that was the topic du jour today, to research the comparative dangers of all sources of electromagnetic. And I really couldn't find, you know, all the tremendous evidence saying, well, cell phones and all these sources of low-frequency electromagnetic electromagnetic radiation, because I'm concerned about the smart meters and all that jazz.
Have you been following what's going on with KAC right now in terms
of the
petition?
Totally. So I tried to get the experts, but then I got in a deep financial doo-doo, and then I decided, well, I better read up about the Higgs boson particle. And then I was in really deep kimchi, because then, even though in my old age, I'm really into science, I just try to wrap my head around exactly what they're talking about in terms of the standard model. So maybe when you get your Persian gentleman on, he can better explain it to my old head.
Caller, I tell you what, our guest is now in the studio here, so we're going to need to shift.
Okay, well,
so call back.
Aloha, gentlemen.
Aloha.
All right. So here we are. It's a pretty glorious day in Kauai.
Beautiful day today.
Make sure everybody's microphone. Your microphone working there, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah. Aloha. Yeah.
Aloha.
Let's get this up to you here.
Oh, yeah. Just talk right in there.
Just like that.
Okay, so we're joined in the studio by our esteemed Kauai's mayor, Bernard J. Carvalho.
No,
Jr.
P.
Sorry,
for Patrick.
J. Anyway, okay.
You got it, Jonathan.
Bernard Carvalho, Jr. Welcome to the studio, Mr. Mayor. It's about your fourth time on the show here, I believe.
You know, I think it might be the fifth time.
Fifth time.
Okay. I think it might
all
be.
Right.
Nice to be out here. Nice drive, as always, coming out to the beautiful North Shore.
Did you get
visiting with you folks?
Did you get caught in traffic in Kapaa?
Well, it took the little bypass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so the... especially during this time.
Is the county doing work on the bypass road? Is that why...
There's construction happening now, but, you know, the afternoon traffic, so...
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, welcome back.
Well, and I have a question for you. Was it your birthday a little while ago?
Yes. It was my birthday on the 29th of September.
Well, how old did you turn?
I'm 52.
52? So young.
Young.
So young.
Come on, man.
You're only a couple years older than me. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be here.
I understand you had a big party.
We had a great gathering over at the Kilohana.
Uh-huh.
And very thankful for all the people who attended.
Uh-huh. And I understand it was a zero-waste event.
Yeah. I'm happy to say, I think what I understand, one bag of trash was all that was left.
For the whole thing?
For the whole thing.
You got a
94%.
94% diversion.
That's great.
And you know what? That turned out really, really well, obviously. But just everybody being aware... that evening, we had over, 1,500 people or so.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And I was really happy with, of course, having the presence of our team there.
You got presents?
A lot of presents.
Oh, okay.
Just by the people coming. That was present enough for me.
Oh, good.
Their presents were presents.
Yes, presents were presents.
Well, I just want to wish you a happy birthday, because it's always nice when that happens.
Mahalo.
So, thank you so much for coming up here. It's kind of exciting. It's been an exciting last couple of months here on the island.
Yes, a lot of good things and great things happening on Kauai overall.
Yeah.
And some very controversial issues that we're trying to address one step at a time.
Right. And I'm so happy that the Garden Island just ran this poll. They had for running for re-election for you.
Yes.
You announced that you're running for re-election. And it said 48% said yes, they would vote for you. Mm-hmm. 47% said no. But here's the most important one. 5.2% said they're not sure what you do.
Okay.
So that's why I thought, well, what a great opportunity to bring him up to the radio station, and you can talk all about the stuff that you've been doing.
Those 5%.
Yeah, so 5%. we're gonna answer those questions.
Answer those questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, everyone's thinking about Bill 2491.
Uh-huh.
But I thought we were going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you've been focusing on as well, the Adolescent Treatment Center and the Healing Center.
We'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Is that okay?
So, yeah, take it away.
So, let me start with our bus stop improvement project. I did say back in 2010 when I made my delivery in our inaugural delivery, that every single bus stop on our island will have a bus shelter, period. And it's taken a while.
There's a lot of bus stops overall.
But at the same time, just getting it done and doing it right. And so I just want to share this. Bus ridership since 2008, and we got elected then. So in 2001, it was 224,353 trips now.
What is that? Say that again.
224,353 trips in 2001.
Is that a quarter million trips?
Quarter million, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of trips.
Well, and it's then, probably more now.
Well, and then 2008 now, when we got it, we moved up to 395,603. And now, since 2012, the total ridership is 852,271. So we more than doubled.
Holy moly.
From 2008 to 2012.
What is that?
More than tripled since 2001.
What does that say to you about the bus ridership?
The bus ridership, obviously, people are getting on our beautiful and wonderful bus. We're trying our very best to expand services. We've developed parking rides. We've added new buses. We've added personnel, of course, to help support this wonderful movement and getting people moving around Kauai safely. And so with this bus shelter program that we're moving towards on, very happy to say that our consultant is working on the design and planning for the island-wide bus stop improvements. We have 49 shelters total, plans for 49 shelters ready to go. And improvements such as lighting, bike racks. I wanted to make sure that we also utilize the green features on our bus shelters.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Lighting. So LED lighting, solar, you know, so
cool.
Some of our bus shelters, looking at that.
Are they going to have PV, some of the bus shelters?
I don't know about PV, whatever green features would fit in this particular program, we'll definitely look at. Bike racks, cans, you know, trash cans, and ADA improvements, all of that.
So the bike rack, would that be envisioning, so if you ride your bike to the bus stop, then you can lock your bike up there and your bike will be secure and safe while you go on the bus ride?
Yeah, because we only allow two bikes right now.
A lot of times you ride it down there hoping to get it on the bus, but the bike rack's already full. So
right,
leave
so
it there.
We're trying to encourage ridership on our bikes, of course, but if you want to utilize the bus, of course, you can also do that.
So that's good. That gives more flexibility.
Right.
Cool.
So as we lay this whole, you know, program out, we've been having community meetings, Jonathan. So we have a flyer over here encouraging people to attend these meetings, and it's coming up. Our next meeting is on tonight, Thursday, at Waimea Neighborhood Center from 5:30 to 7:30. And then on Friday, October 18th, tomorrow, is Kilauea Neighborhood Center. And these meetings just are specific to the bus stops within each of these communities. And we want to hear from the community how they want to prioritize what bus shelters or stops should take place first, priority-wise, for the installation of these bus shelters. The other nice thing about this program is that we've incorporated community organizations, the Rotary Club, the Lions Club,
the usual suspects,
the Filipino Chamber of Commerce,
good.
The Hawaiian Chamber of Commerce, and other nonprofits wanting to actually participate. We provide them the materials and they build it.
Oh, that's good. So like a public-private partnership.
Exactly.
That's
some awesome. Of the bus stops will allow that and some not because more design work needs to be done. And so we have to bid that out.
I'm pretty sure the bus stop over by Big Save in Kapa'a is a Lions bus stop.
Big Save, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a good one.
So, in fact, just last night we were in Kapa'a and it was a pretty nice turnout there. People came out and just to see what they're thinking, where they think its priority should be as we move forward in this program.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
I think the bus is really important for folks, especially because, you know, when you become sort of challenged in your income here on the island, it's one of the more expensive places to live. It's nice to have an affordable means for transport around the island.
Yeah, and the other one, just because that took place, we did a pilot at Kauai Community College. We did 1 year for free bus service for all the students. And just recently, this past year, we finally were able to develop a bulk pass program where every single student has an ID would already have a pass. And the fees are incorporated into when they pay their fees to go to school.
Right.
It's already incorporated into that.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know, almost we're going to hit 1 million riders here then pretty soon.
I'm so excited about that because, you know, overall, I mean, just getting people out of their cars in their buses. I think the parking rides was the other good opportunity for people to drive safely, have their cars park safely and get on the bus.
Well, especially in places where it's more rural, you know, sometimes you have to drive 2 miles to get to the bus stop.
Right.
So that's not realistic to expect everybody to walk. But then once you get there, you got a place to park, right. And then you can ride the bus, and then your car is waiting for you when you get home. Hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the sad thing is, like, seeing people sitting there in the hot sun. So we're going to address that. And the first 49 bus stops right now as we move towards completing all of them.
How many are there altogether?
There is, what, 160, I think. I'm not sure.
160 bus stops.
The right number.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Because, that program's come a long way. Now, one of the things...
PV will be used for LED lights.
Ah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the new.
That's cool. Great.
So, you know, getting the green feature in there as well on these bus shelters.
Well, that's a smart way to make them safer at night, too, and more visible for the bus driver to pick up and see if somebody's in the bus stop.
Yeah, and actually a lot of people, if they want to get information on a lot of these programs you're talking about here, it's on your website in the Holo Holo 2020 initiatives. Yeah. And I think this is a great program, great way that you've done. Now, a lot of these started out as your campaign promises, right? That these are the things that you were going to do when you got elected?
Right. These are the things that I shared with our people of Kauai and Niihau in 2010 when we got elected in our inaugural delivery to lay out this Holo Holo vision. And was with the hope that people would be able to look at these projects and jump on board and see how they can participate and help.
Yeah. Well, it's really nice because, you know, on your website, it's always got, the status of what's going on, where it is, you know, what's been completed, whether it's in progress or not, and so people, if they want to get involved or if they have input on any things, they can, get a hold of you or whatever. And, but also, I wish a lot of other departments and agencies would use this format as well and have their outlook, their projects that they're working on, and then people can look at the status of them at any time.
Yeah, for the Holo Holo part, and then, of course, we are actual capital improvement projects. We have a new listing of all the projects, and I always said I wanted each and every project, whether it be bridge projects, whether it be park projects, to have a story, timelines, funding sources. So people, when they call and ask status of whatever projects, this is in addition to the Holo Holo, just in general. And so our CEP manager, Keith Suga, and our public works team have been working really hard to assure that each project has their own individual stories and timelines so people can be kept abreast on what's happening overall. But in this particular discussion, it was just to update you on some of the Holo Holo projects that and the status.
Right.
So the next one would be the Adolescent Treatment and Healing Center.
Yeah, now this one is a tough one.
This is a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Controversial.
Well, I don't think it's not really controversial. Everybody agrees that
we
need it.
Well, the location, not in my backyard.
Where is it going to go?
So, let me say that everybody agrees that we need an Adolescent Drug Treatment Center. Yeah. There's disagreement on where it should be.
Right.
And the location.
Yeah.
In my backyard.
These are our kids that we're talking about. This is not somebody else's kids.
Well, I felt that, yes, it's our kids.
It's our
kids.
And
I feel strongly that our kids should heal home with their families versus being sent even to Honolulu or Maui or to the mainland to receive treatment. So this is just a step towards getting our kids who need the help and treatment and healing, most of all, home here. And so I'm happy to say that as we continue to move forward, the current location right now per our community meetings is located in Eisenberg Track in Lihue, on the back portion of that subdivision.
Is that where that new road is, where they got the construction, the brand new road?
Brand new road.
Yeah, right by the bridges that they're building.
Yeah, well, it's right behind the Lihue Neighborhood Center there.
Okay.
And so, you know, listening to the community, surrounding ourselves with people who know what we're supposed to be talking about. And so right now we have three final locations. And next month, the middle of November, I'll be going back to community to make the final decision on where this adolescent treatment center will be located based upon community input, based upon talking to all the key professionals within this business. We did do a feasibility study. I wanted to make sure we have a study done and it's completed. And since the study, we did say we needed approximately 3 to 5 acres, age ranging from 13 to 18 years old, a mix of boys and girls, and at least 10 beds or so right now based on the study. And so taking that information from the feasibility study and sharing that, of course, with community. And
that's almost the most important part, though.
Right. Very, very important. And making it fit and to what is best for us here on Kauai with this kind of facility.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with that one.
Do you have a short list of possible sites then?
What? There's three sites that I talked about at the last meeting we had. One located, of course, right there in Eisenberg, on the backside of Eisenberg South, community. There's another one located near the Ma'alo Road location, centrally located. And then there's another one up in Kapahi, more of a, we're looking at an extra facility, like a building, like a home. So I just wanted to get a variety of options. And then surrounded myself with key leaders from the state, county, the private sector, who all tie into this type of programs and business, and getting their input as well. And then coming back to community based upon all of the above, and making the decision. Once we make the decision where it's going to be, then the next step is, of course, building it, looking at the land, what we need to do to for infrastructure and the next steps.
Cool.
I mean, originally it was supposed to be down in Hanapepe, wasn't it?
Yes.
Near the old Humane Society building?
Right.
But what the local residents didn't want it there, is that right?
Yeah, there was some, of course, controversy there. I know Mayor Baptiste, bless his heart, did what he could to, with the same passion and understanding the need. And unfortunately, in that particular situation, there were different variables that happened in that particular area. So we kind of learned from that and looked at what happened there and went back to the drawing board, if you will.
Right.
Got our team members together, because if it's not there, it has to be somewhere on our island, because it's needed. And so this healing center will happen. It's just where. And the how will come, and the who, of course, the people, and helping them to educate them on the importance of us moving forward on this particular project.
Well, right. Good.
And then the next one is our park inspections, because parks and recreation, or the parks in general, is a big, big, of course, part of our community. So just quickly, what we did was we did a site visit, assembled our key department heads, did a site visit from all the way from Ka'e Beach to Kapa'a. The first day. The second day, we went from Kekaha all the way up to Hanapepe. And then the third day, of course, from Ele'ele all the way through Koloa. And we went through every single park, recreation facility, I know campsites, restrooms, faucets, shower heads, landscape,
sounds
pavilions. We took pictures of every area within the park. Bottom line, we did a total
Scanning
of the
inventory. Yeah.
And I wanted me, myself, our department heads to do this. I wanted our finance director to be part of this team and scanning this area. And not saying yay or nay or bad, just looking at what is before us, because I did make the commitment in our budget, our budget message, that this go-around, we're going to look at our existing facilities and work on taking care of what we currently have and making sure that we maintain and provide a program that is in there. So from the camping sites to the parks to the fencing to the backboards to the basketball rims to, I mean, through accessible parking areas, all of it. And so we did a thorough overview. We're going to complete the Lihui one shortly and then incorporate that into a spreadsheet, of course. Everyone has a
picture.
Got to
have a spreadsheet.
All of it. And then using that as a tool for training. We wanted to go back internally and help train our park caretakers and our staff members to help them understand these are some of the things you have to be aware of. It sounds like it should be happening anyway, which, you know, we're trying to work the best we can. But
well,
I think
maybe you have more knowledge and background about this.
Oh, I can tell you right now. If you go to Anini Beach, that one pad, one shower area, it needs help, okay?
Yeah, gets a lot of use.
And it's very, very heavily used. Parking is another issue. So bottom line is we recently did that in one more area, like I said, from Koloa area. We've just completed. We got the Lihu area left. So that was just our way of coming back, raising the bar, and then making, developing a spreadsheet, a story, if you will, of all of the different things. You'll see what I mean as we continue to move forward.
So what was your assessment of the condition of the parks? And
you know, there's some great areas that are in great condition, and there's some areas that need help. And so, and whether it be, you know, the operational side. So I'm just looking at it for now, overall and seeing what kind of resources. If we need additional resources, we need to train our existing resources, helping our existing staff understand the importance of what they do and assuring them that if you do this, you will have the support you need to address many of these areas. And so whether it be painting sometimes or repairing, changing all the fixtures in our restrooms and all of that. So we're looking at that.
Or just keeping them clean.
And keeping it clean. That's another one. So
yeah, we get a lot of calls in to the show here about the condition of the bathrooms.
People love to gripe about that.
Yeah. Like I say, like on Friday afternoon, right before a big holiday weekend, the bathrooms at Black Pod Beach are completely closed and full. You know, so, I mean, and there's 1,000 people going to be down there in a couple hours. So, yeah, we get a lot of calls about that. And
monster trucks on the beach.
Well, let me share this with you folks. What we've recently done is I can tell you that on the long weekend, on Labor Day weekend next year, it's going to be full of people. So we know already beforehand. The other thing I want to point out to the people is that we've increased the volume of our population, our visitors, but the infrastructure stayed the same.
Yeah.
So the demand and the use is triple. But, you know, rather we have one restroom with two toilets and one urinal, and, of course, the women's side with restroom, three toilets, but the volume has increased.
Yeah. Right.
So we need to either, number one, increase more restrooms, obviously, look at our wastewater system, because there's a lot of, you know, use, and what that heavy use causes overflow.
Right.
And we don't want that happening and seeping into our wonderful, beautiful Aina.
No way.
So either we look at expanding some of the current leach fields that are there adjacent to address some overflowing. We have multiple cleanings. We have to do additional cleanings throughout the day. And that example would come when we talk about our Super Beach Parks program.
Super Beaks? What's that?
Okay, let me explain. So in our delivery, this last budget cycle, we wanted to start this upgrade of our heavily used parks first, beach parks.
Lidgate,
and Poipu.
Ah, okay.
So
the super beaches.
Super beaches.
Ah, okay.
So we're saying that we've put the resources in there to have multiple cleanings. So when you go to Lidgate Park restrooms, they clean at 6 in the morning, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock. There's a constant, somebody's there. It's a bathroom attendant, if you will.
Hmm.
So when you have that wonderful experience where you go to visit these restrooms, just that idea. And because that seems to be a large, large concern from our visitors as well as our residents who visit these sites. So we're starting with Lidgate and Poipu. We just completed the West End restroom facility in Poipu. We have stainless steel toilets. We have stainless steel fixtures. We're looking at the upgrade. We have solar lighting now. So we're incorporating all of these new features into upgrading our restroom facilities and our park facilities with these kinds of fixtures that we feel will not only give you a wonderful experience, number one, because it's always clean, and that's a bold statement right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to prophesy, say it, and work it.
It's good to aim high.
Yeah. But the resources, see? So we have the additional staffing now to man these restrooms and to assure that it's clean. And anyway, so those are two of the areas we're working on right now. As we speak, Black Pot Beach is closed, I believe, for 2 weeks because I went there. So we closed it down. We're going to transfer, replace some of the fixtures, do some of the tile work there, and expand the leach field area. I mean, unfortunately, we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah.
We're not going to build more restrooms. And then utilize the restroom on the back side of that area, too. We'll talk about that.
Expand them a little bit.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the big picture and your team, because you had a solid team in place for a while. You had Gary Hu. You inherited him from the Baptist administration. But he's announced that he's going to be going back to Oahu. Yeah?
Yes. Gary and his family, he's originally from Oahu, and he's going back home with his family, his dad, and his family members, yes.
So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about Gary Hu and what he's meant to the team and the administration, and then we can talk about Nadine coming on.
Definitely. Gary Hu has been within county government for 11 years, and under Mayor Baptiste, of course, and then working in a little bit under Mayor Singh, and then, of course, myself. And Gary has added so much depth, knowledge, understanding of government, working closely with our county council, kind of managing our departments, being able to respond and provide the needed assistance that I needed as we continue to sort through many, many of the different great things that happen in government, challenges that happen in government. And you have to have people around you that are go-getters, hearts and souls, bottom line, making things happen. And Gary, with his leadership and his years of experience, has provided that for us. So he will be missed, Gary Hugh. But I know he's only a phone call away no matter what. And
well,
he
that's
knows
good.
That.
That's good. That's good and bad,
he
I guess.
Knows that. Yeah. Gary,
what's
I don't care
password
what happened
to my computer?
So, Gary and his expertise has given many, many years to the county, and thank him for that.
But and now you've got Nadine, you announced last week in the newspaper.
Nadine, you know,
she seems highly competent.
Very competent.
In fact, I've noticed a pattern with you and hiring highly competent people.
Well, you surround yourself with good, highly competent, more than that, heart and soul and commitment and trustworthy and able to just say not always yes, but give me good advice, give me good information, give me solutions, give me advice, give me three options so we can make some good decisions, well thought out decisions. Sometimes it takes longer than I choose to and I get frustrated, but these are the kinds of people that really help you do the things that we need to do for the people that we serve. I strongly believe that, and in many ways in the departments we've surrounded us with great people, hearts and souls, smart people who want to do good. And Nadine, coming from the council as vice chair now, I had a menu of what, 18 to 20 people that I sorted through. It took me 5 months. I didn't want to rush into it. I wanted to take my time. I wanted to look at what would be the right person and the right background needed to really help our initiatives move forward, to really help assist in our efforts to work closely with the county council, to really help in understanding what initiatives we have on the table and the expertise and understanding to make things happen, and to be strategic, to come with an offensive strategy. And by that I mean we're ready,
proactive,
yeah. Know what we want. No, it's not going to be perfect, but needed to understand all of the above. And after sorting through all of that, developing a criteria that I felt would help move our projects forward, Nadine Nakamura was the one. And so with her understanding for government, her understanding of private sector, her background in planning, her background in organizing community, her background in facilitation and understanding how important it is to get input from the people, and then making decisions based on the information that we gather. And then being able to really connect with our department heads and give them the support that they need. So at the end of the day, when we meet in my office and we got to rock and roll and we got to move this project, we do it based upon good information.
Sound judgment.
And if there's, you know, needs to be adjustments made, then we'll do it. So, yes, Nadine Nakamura will be coming on board effective November 1st.
Well, you know, that sounds like a fantastic introduction to Bill 2491, mm-hmm. because that's going to be very challenging for you guys to implement. But, you know, we live in a historic time right now, and you are the man who gets to sign it into law. So how does that feel?
How does it feel?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's been a long, drawn-out discussion, which is very important. This whole issue is very important for our island. Let me say this. Right now, as we speak, the bill was passed last evening.
Yeah, at 3:30 in the morning.
At 3:30 in the morning.
Crazy late.
And I want to be clear. In my delivery, I did say I wanted to defer the bill.
Sure.
And the deferral to me meant, wasn't that I was against it or for it at the time. I needed more time to sort through the bill itself that was given to me like a week and a half ago.
Sure, because they kept changing it.
Yes, and the final printed version came to me. We looked at it, and I wanted to make sure I had enough time to sort through that. So we went back to county council, gave them our understanding, not only why we couldn't do it the way in its current form, but gave solutions. And so that's why I wanted the people to understand why I was asking for the deferral.
Sure, a little more time.
I'm responsible as we speak for all of that.
You're the one who's got to oversee
the bill,
it. You got to get it done.
Which is housed in economic development.
Sure.
So I said, why economic development? But we'll leave it at that. So now, in its current form, there's some legal concerns also that I had. My intent was to gather the key stakeholders, the state, the Department of Ag, Department of Health, governor's support with his cabinet members, getting our team members together, meeting with some of the seed corn companies, getting a good understanding
sure,
of what the bill
all
meant.
The stakeholders together.
And then, to me, directing the responsibility where it should go, and getting commitments via an MOA, a memorandum of understanding, getting something more concrete than just talk. And so that's where I was at. And people were saying, well, why did you wait so long? I want people to understand, I'm not clueless. I'm totally in it. I understand the total picture.
Hey, I saw
There's
you sitting there
issues.
Through all that
I
testimony.
I sat there the whole time.
Sure.
I was out at Mana Okalani Po Park. I was
sure.
in front of the county.
You were
state
there
building,
for the Mana March?
All of it.
Yeah.
And just listening.
And I really respected you
and
for
observing.
That. I really appreciate that.
So that's what it was. And so now, although our efforts, we were successful in getting deferral, so now it's coming across the street to me.
Sure, but they gave it extra 3 months. It was going to be six months for implement,
okay.
and now is nine.
Right.
So you
and
give you
so
three extra months.
So I just wanted to clarify first why sure. I wanted the deferral before it was passed. Now I have it before me. So the options, of course, is there's a veto option. There's a non-veto option.
What's a non-veto option?
I mean, well, just not signing the document.
And let it pass into law anyway?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm
sorry. I don't think you're going
to
do
I'm
that.
I'm looking at all of the options I have on the table before I say anything. I still need to look. I did put in for a county attorney's opinion. I wanted to see the opinion first. I haven't seen that yet because that was just part of the amended version. And so, like I requested with my deferral to the council, now I got to look at what the final version of the bill, because you know how that goes. So
sure.
I want to see that first.
It was pretty late when they finally passed it.
Yeah. I want to look at the legal version and
sure.
opinion and then go from there.
Well, so how long do you have then to consider
it? I have 10 days.
10 days.
We're supposed to get it tomorrow? We got it today. Okay, so it came today.
So is that 10 working days?
Is it 10 working days?
10 working days.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm going to make a bold prediction. And I think that you're a brave man with a bold leadership and you have a vision for Kauai. And I think that you're going to figure out how to get this thing done for us, and it's going to become law, and I'm real excited about it. So I want to thank you for that ahead of time.
Thank you. A lot of hard work, and it's not done yet, obviously, so I need to just absorb all the information. Again, get the advice that I need.
Now, when you talk about, you know, getting advice and asking all the stakeholders in there, you're also going to be talking to the physicians for the, you know, the people who are against the pesticides or want the... I mean, you're going to look at that side, too?
All of it. I'm looking at all the people who are fearful of just the pesticide side of it, the health problem side of it, of course, the health yeah. issues. And the other side, I'm looking at all the possibility of people being afraid of losing their jobs, that men and women work the fields. That's an important, important part that has to be part of this discussion. Yeah. And they're fearful. You know, so that's another part that I want to make sure. I want to make sure whatever we end up with, there's a balance between the business side, the emotional side, the employment side, the health side, and coming up with something that can work for all. And if I can get and hold everybody accountable for their part in this very important issue for our island, then that's what we have to do.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And that's what I want to do, and I feel like I can do that with the people I've talked to and gathered information on and read on and talked to. And I've got numerous emails that are coming into my office, and some of them I can call back, some I can't. But I've been there. I'm a hands-on guy. I'm out in the community trying to understand and hear. And so now before me is the bill, and that's what I need to do in order to move it and have 10 days.
Well, you're the mayor of Kauai, mm-hmm. and it's a big job. But you're a big man, and I know you can get it done. So I want you to be as successful as you possibly can be. I want you to be the best mayor that Kauai could ever have. And I know that you're going to get it done. Get her done. Because you're a get-her-done kind of guy.
I feel, yes, we just keep going. It's yeah. not easy, but, you know, we just keep moving forward.
Do we have a call from
a
listener?
You want to take some calls from
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Yeah, thank you for waiting patiently. You're on Out of the Box with Jonathan Jay and Dave Giroux, and our mayor is the guest of honor today. Do you have a question or comment?
First, I wanted to thank the mayor for putting in his efforts and time to follow Bill 2491. My question's pretty simple. Can you answer this yes or no? Would you defer it? I mean, would you vote to veto it? And if you would, what would it take to veto? What would be the justification in your mind to veto the bill?
What would be justification in my again, like I said, I want to look and understand the legal side of it, which is the I did put in a request for a legal opinion, and I want to look at that.
Seems prudent for due.
I want to look at the bill because I haven't, in writing before me, so I just got it this afternoon before coming out here. And then I'll make my decision on what I need to do.
So is there a possibility that you would veto it?
There's a possibility. Everything is on the table right now as we speak. My options are before me, but my final decision will be made on what I just told you.
What would be the tipping point to make you veto it?
Tipping point. I guess, again, based upon the information, I mean, there is a major legal side to this that I need to understand. The emotional side, of course, is in my heart. I totally, as I've expressed myself overall on all the menu of things, but the bottom line now is looking at what is before me and understanding what that means and what responsibilities will come with that and assuring that I can meet those responsibilities or assure that I have the support from the people who are supposed to be responsible and then go from there.
So that sounds like you're looking for some help from the state, yeah?
I've always said it from the beginning,
yeah,
that the state, I have a relationship with the state, and I said it, that I've talked to them already. I've read my communication on the floor on some information I got back from Mr. Kokobun, who is with the Department of Ag. And so I feel that we have that chance. I would like that chance. And so now it's in a different arena than the deferral, but now is the bill before me.
All right. Well, thank you, caller. Does that answer your question?
Not really, but I'm not sure that it would get answered.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Aloha, caller. Welcome Aloha. To Out of the Box.
Aloha.
Hello, Mayor.
Aloha.
You know, in any legal debate, you're going to have two lawyers or a bunch of lawyers on either side saying, hey, we're going to win. You know, I mean, you know, there's lawyers for the bill that say, hey, look, if they want to sue, bring it on. I mean, how are you going to win a fight if you're not willing to fight? You know, the bill, as it's read, as I've been told by the radio, by all the people, that it's not necessarily about anybody losing their jobs at this point in time.
Yes.
You know, I mean, all jobs in Hawaii are important. The jobs that I'm thinking of in particular, all the hotel workers, all the doctors that want you to pass the bill, as well as all the thousands of other people that have sent you emails and that you know exist on this island that also want you to pass the bill.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't know whether you could come up with a plan because maybe, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you're afraid that this bill is going to all of a sudden make 600 people lose their jobs or not, because it doesn't seem like that's how the bill's written.
Right.
And one other thing, and thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
You know, if I was in your shoes or any of the council members,
yes,
I would go, wow, this is a political opportunity of a lifetime to be a hero and vote for the bill. And instead of, like, kind of bowing to, you know, the higher ups, which is the state, that is probably, you know, I mean, that's derelict in duty. You know, they're not, they've been derelict in duty. They're not protecting the people, the health and well-being of the people of Kauai, which you stand for. You know, and I mean, like I said, all those doctors that gave their testimony, every single one of them who are experts in their field, medical field, say something is going on over there that is just, like, not right. You know, and I'm just saying that if you had a child that that got cancer that was later found out to be positively directly from the poisons that were sprayed on the fields, how many jobs would that be worth? I mean, if I had a kid that I adored that got cancer from those pesticides, you know, I mean, how many thousands of jobs would I be willing to sacrifice to save my own child?
Okay, okay, call it. Let's let the mayor respond to that then.
First of all, thank you very much.
That's a good question. Thank you. Thank you, caller.
Hello, we're going to take that off the air.
First of all, I just want to say I'm not interested in being a hero. I'm just more interested in doing what is right. And when I say people losing their jobs, there's just one other, and that's what I mean. People are just missing the point here. The people who I'm talking about are fearful of losing their jobs. That's what I'm saying. Like the people who are afraid of the chemicals and who are afraid of just not having the right information. I'm not nullifying any one of them. I just have a menu of things I have to address overall, and I will never substitute a life for a job. I'm just trying to be realistic on caring and concern for the health and safety of our children and our families and the people who could be affected by this. And at the same time, on the other spectrum, the fear of the family that might, they're fearful losing their jobs, which could affect their family and turn that into a whole turmoil and become a very devastating situation too.
Yeah, well, one of the things that's difficult is you can't be the mayor of just some people on the island. You have to be the mayor for everybody.
Right, and so I'm trying to figure out the whole spectrum of very important issues and trying to address that and making sure that everybody's included in the overall discussion and then not left out. And the fear of losing a job for some people is devastating. That could be very detrimental to a family. And that's my point. And at the same time, I have a little granddaughter. I would never want her to be affected by any type of chemical or health problem. No way. So how do I look at that and look at this and come to a understanding what is the right way to go?
Well, it's,
right,
it's all about moving forward, yeah?
That's what it is.
Yeah. Right, but shouldn't it be whether they are actually going to lose their jobs, whether not if they're afraid of losing their jobs, but if jobs are actually lost?
Yeah, and I mean,
we can't deal with their
you
fear.
Cannot. Yeah, you cannot. But what I'm saying, that's what I get from people. They're just, oh, Mayor, you know, I fear I lose my job. You know, what am I going to do? And, of course, my message is always hang in there. You know, you're not going to lose your job. We're trying to work this thing out. I would suggest you get yourself educated on the issue, and let's work this thing through. It's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm going to make my decision based on that. No.
Right.
I have to look at the whole menu of things.
The big picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we got more callers standing by. You want to take another call here?
Yeah. Oh.
Hello.
Aloha, caller. Welcome to Out of the Box with Dave Giroux and Jonathan Jay. Our special guest today is Mayor Bernard P. Carvalho, Jr., and you have a question or comment for him.
Yeah, a couple. I read on an article that might have been Civil Beat, I'm not sure, that because there were 6 votes that the bill is veto-proof.
Yeah, they call that a supermajority.
Is that true?
That there are 6 votes.
There's 6 votes. If there were 4 votes that you could veto the bill, but because there are 6 votes that the bill is veto-proof. Is that true?
Seeing a nodding head over
so
here.
So they can override your veto.
Someone changes their vote. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Unless somebody changes their vote, that is correct.
No, so, okay, so I guess I'm not making myself clear. So you actually, at this point in time, you actually have the authority to veto the bill.
Yes, the mayor has authority to veto the bill, and the bill would go back to county council, and they would need 5 votes to override the bill, override the veto.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking, the process.
Yeah, because the article simply said that because there were 6 votes, the bill was veto-proof.
Oh. Okay.
And so it the way it was written, it made it sound like you didn't have the authority to veto.
No, still can do, but then it goes back to the council.
Right, I have the authority to veto, And once, if that's what happens, it goes back to the council, and then they need to have 5 votes to override my veto.
Now, how about if Nadine is no longer on the council at that
then you
time,
have, that's
then
what,
there's only
yes.
six.
Or they have a council member chosen by that time. Then that's up to the council to
decide. And you have 10 working days.
From today.
From today,
from
I just got it this
afternoon. The bill?
This afternoon, I got the bill.
Which would be like November 1st.
And so, how many working days until Nadine leaves the council?
About 10.
Yeah, Nadine leaves on November. Well, she starts November 1st. That's our plan.
Be right about that same time.
Yeah. So she will likely be gone by the time the bill comes back to the council.
If the bill comes back to the council, and I have 10 days. So, and I just want to make this clear. This wasn't a planned out there. I didn't know this thing would happen now with Nadine's move. But anyway, just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Well, then I'm just about done. The one thing I wanted to reiterate that the previous caller brought up was that I strongly feel that you should not let the threat of a lawsuit cause you to veto the bill.
Okay.
I would far rather that let these companies put themselves where their mouths are, and if they're going to sue, let them sue and let everything. I know it's going to cost, but I have another way. I'm going to be addressing that in another time. But if there are going to be lawsuits, let them happen and let it all shake out, because like the guy said, if it never gets to go to court, if it doesn't have the chance to go to court, we will never know. So it will be an opportunity for laws to be clarified and legitimacy established, much like the Obamacare got legitimized by the Supreme Court.
Right.
So please don't veto it based on the threat of a lawsuit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, caller. Appreciate that. You have another caller standing by? Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Actually, no, we have about a minute. I need to go to the top of the hour programming, but let you address his comments there about the lawsuit and... do you have any comments to what he said?
I understand what he's saying.
Right.
And again, I know what options I have and based upon what I say.
Now, have you talked to any of the people that have volunteered legal services to the county in the event of a lawsuit by the GMO companies?
No.
Okay. I don't know how you didn't hear about that, but several law firms from the mainland have offered free legal
pro bono. Your question to me if I spoke to them.
No. Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of that, but okay. I haven't talked to them.
Okay. Does that weigh in at all into your decision or your concerns about a lawsuit that maybe it is affordable?
Let me just say this. That's why, I go back to why my purpose of trying to defer. Right. I was hoping that before we get into any... legal issues and all that stuff. I was hopeful that we could really come out with something solid that could help work through this thing.
Right.
Instead of getting into court and all of that. That was my hope in trying to address all of the stakeholders at the table. That was the reason of my request for deferral.
Sure. Right. It's a process. It's a big process.
So now if it gets into the legal arena, then it's a whole other, people's not going to talk, everything's just going to change direction. And
right.
So I wanted to kind of avoid that and see where we could come to.
So this is like the art of politics.
I don't know if it's politics, more heart to heart, and trying to really figure out what is the right way to go.
What is Pono?
And holding everybody at the table. But that was my hope. But
still can do.
Okay.
No, don't get me wrong. We still need to continue, but
sure.
You're asking me the question on this legal.
Right.
And that was my response to that.
Okay. Well, it is 5:00, and I need to give you the following message.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Haleiwa.
And also, you're listening to Out of the Box, and this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the following wonderful underwriters. Check these out.
Wow. Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural, biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina, Hawaii lifestyle.
Introducing Julio's Beach Burritos, coming soon to Kilauea, a blend of Hawaiian and authentic Mexican cuisine. Open for breakfast and lunch, traditional chorizo, machaca, chile colorado, and chile verde burritos. Also bacon and sausage burritos. Fish and shrimp tacos too. The signs in Kilauea will direct you. Abuelitos recipes straight out of Mexico. Julio's Beach Burritos.
Yee Corp and Associates, providing personalized employee benefits and insurance solutions since 1988. A green company in an orange building. 808-245-5384. On the web at yeecorp.com.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
And mahalo to those folks for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We got an hour left in our discussion with the mayor. Got a couple of calls lined up, so we're going to go straight to. Beth, you wanted to make an announcement, or okay, the mayor has an announcement here.
Yeah, I just want to make an announcement. Just got this information fresh off the presses that if anybody is interested in,
and you can be sure that people are interested.
Yeah, no, in getting the information in right now, you can get onto the council's website. Or on their Facebook page, and a copy of the bill is there.
And this is the completed version that was passed.
Right, that I got today, this afternoon.
That's fantastic. That's really great with, you know, the computers and stuff today. Right. You can get this information and distribute it all out like that. I'm really excited to go take a look at it. I don't think I've ever read a bill before.
Okay.
But I'm going to read this one because this has been pretty interesting to me. This whole process is so fascinating.
You read the original one, but I think this is quite a bit different than the original.
So,
I knew who it was when I woke up this morning, but it's changed several times since then.
Right. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, is that me this time?
Yes,
it is. You are on
thank
the air.
Thank you, Mayor, for being on the air with us on KKCR, and I'm sure that you were probably irritated with my testimony. When I came up, I was one of the last speakers before their break at about 6 o'clock.
I wasn't irritated. I was just there to listen.
That's such a good answer.
You know, I had brought up in my testimony a documentary that was posted on Facebook, and it was some guys from the west side that lived there that were concerned and were for the bill, and it was looking at a stream in Waimea. I'm not sure of the name of the stream or the exact stream, but it was one of the irrigation ditches that fed into the stream, and there was 12 dead tilapia that they counted, as well as a lot of irrigation plastic waste from the irrigation drip lines that was littered, as well as like a 55-gallon drum. And the housekeeping that these companies, you know, the bad housekeeping that they've gotten away with all these years, is just appalling to me, and I'm glad that the bill, you know, that we passed it. I wish that we didn't, that it wasn't drowned out as much as it was. I wish that, you know, I don't know why they made changes in favor of the GMO companies when really the health and well-being of the hospitals, schools, and people that live in that area should take precedent.
Did you have a question for the mayor?
No, just a statement.
I guess I was wondering, you know, if he had seen the video at all of the dead fish.
I've not seen the video of dead fish, no.
Okay. Well, it's happening. And, you know, the wasteland on the west side, it just looks like everything is just devastated over there as far as the landscape. But anyway, thank you. I hope that you will not veto the bill and that we could move forward. And I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha, caller. Welcome
Hello,
to Out of the Box.
Me?
Yeah, you are on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. Aloha.
Aloha.
Mayor, thank you for being on KKCR to
listen to us and to put out your comments and your mana'a.
Aloha.
I am proposing beyond the veto and beyond the fears of the people, I would like to encourage you to create a vision for the west side of Kauai.
Okay.
So the vision would be working with the ADC, working with the seed companies when they, if they decide they can't abide by our new rules and they decide they're going to leave, let's turn the west side of Kauai, and I'm not the first person to have said this, so you probably have heard this before, but let's turn the west side of Kauai into a food production site for our whole island. And let's, what I would like to hear from you is that all those people who are afraid of losing their jobs say, you are part of our Kauai family. If you stay here and your companies leave and you don't have jobs, work with us. Stay on the west side and help us remediate the land and turn it into fruitful farmlands for the people of Kauai.
Can you say that again? Turn it into what?
Fruitful farmland for the people of Kauai. What if, here's my vision, Mayor, what if all the seed companies did go and all the land that they're on now was remediated, so whatever toxins are there, it's made healthy, living, viable soil that grows good food. We even restore some of the wetlands, and we lease out plots of land to farmers that have been working for the seed company. They could have a house there, they could grow food, and they could sell it and feed the people of the island. They get to do what they like, farming. They get to make food for our island. We already know how dependent we are on food coming to us from far away. And they would create a beautiful community. There could be tours of the west side, all these little farms where people grow, and they could teach the tourists how to grow papayas, and, you know, people could buy fresh fruit. And it just could be a beautiful vision of the west side with the wetlands restored and the native birds and people doing back to basic, down to earth food producing farming.
Okay, let's let the mayor respond to that then. Thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you.
First of all, I hear what you're saying as far as your vision. I think the vision is happening on different parts of our island already. You know, I have a bill before me that was passed by the county council that we're looking into right now and trying to see how we can work together through this bill to offer opportunities for all who choose to do ag on our island. And with the understanding that there are rules and regulations in place to assure that our people are safe. And if that cannot happen, then we need to look at that. But I think with the opportunity that this beautiful island has in ag in general, I come from the pineapple and sugarcane days. My grandpa, my grandma, my aunties, my dad all worked the fields. And I remember those days. I remember playing in the fields, in the sugarcane fields. So I understand that truly. But at the same time, as mayor, I got to look at the whole picture here and how and what opportunities are on the horizon for Kauai and what I currently hear that needs to be responsible on our island. And that's where I'm at right now.
Well, you know, the caller reminded me of something that I have been thinking about a little while back, and that is this thing called a food forest.
Oh, yeah.
And have you ever seen a food forest?
Wait, let me tell you this.
Okay.
I was there when they were first working it. And
putting all the cardboard down.
Was the cardboard, and just how they laid it out, they meaning the brothers and sisters over there, the swells that cascaded along this open area because it was already set up for irrigation, natural irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
and then to return, what, 10 months later or so, and to see everything growing and understanding how everything depended on each plant or whatever was...
Yeah, the plants are actually working with each other to grow.
Right.
The plants are feeding the plants.
There were plants there and trees growing there that actually provided nitrogen to support the soil, strengthen the soil, and then right next there was a mango tree or a breadfruit tree.
Or papaya tree.
You know, so the food forest concept or idea, you know, obviously it there's a place for that kind of farming and ag. There's a place for organic farming.
Kind of surprising, huh?
Well, I've never visited or seen it. I've heard about it. So it's interesting to see them working the land and then coming back and actually seeing the food forest where everything is edible.
That's right? Fantastic.
And then the ground cover, sweet potato or whatever they choose, what crop they choose to and so I saw that, and it was very interesting to see how that whole process works.
And did they feed you from that?
I ate. Yes, I did.
Was it pretty good?
Very good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Okay, let's go back to the phones.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box. Our guest for this afternoon is the mayor of Kauai.
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Mayor, for being on KKCR, our great Kauai radio station, where people are forced to think. And I'm so glad that you're there and responding to what could be challenging questions. I couldn't agree with the previous caller more, the woman that suggested growing food on all that area. But I think I have even a better solution, and it's not my idea. It's been thrown around for a long time. It's something that could not only employ practically everybody on this island because of the possibilities of this product, but it would do the trick of getting rid of something that's been too toxic for too many years, which is not just the GMO research, but, of course, before that it was the pineapple and it was the cane.
Didn't they used to use...
The product is hemp.
Oh, okay.
Hemp has so many possibilities to save our entire planet, and Hawaii is a perfect garden for hemp. And as most people know, hopefully, it's not the kind of plant that people get stoned on. It's not pokalolo. It is in the same plant, but it has enormous possibilities, far more possibilities than marijuana. And I just heard this morning that there's been some recent research about hemp oil being able to cure cancer, various kinds of cancer. And, of course, we all know that hemp oil can be used in engines. It can be used in so many different manufacturing practices. It can be used to make plastics. It can be made to use clothing. It goes on and on and on. The list would take pages. So, of course, that's going to take a state initiative to make this product legal in the state. But I think we're on the edge of something big here, and it's an opportunity. I see everything optimistically as we have a chance to do something really good here. And, yes, jobs are important. And I my heart goes out to the folks that have come here as immigrants mostly, and their families have been here for years. And they love Hawaii. They love their income, having come from countries that have no income at all. So they have a great opportunity, and they have much at stake here in their families. And I understand that. But we can take this opportunity to give them even a better living, because not only do they not all have to work the fields, but their wives and daughters and tutus could be sewing products. They could be making oil out of the hemp product. And so I would hope that you would, keep this little seed in your ear and see what you can do to get your team to do some research on what would it take to get the state to make hemp legal.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You got it. Aloha.
Aloha.
Have you heard about hemp, about industrial hemp fiber and fuel?
I've heard about hemp, but not about the growing part of it, the agricultural, what it takes to. But I know there's a state initiative, if anything. So.
Well, I know that Derek Kawakami introduced something into the state ledge last year, and I think he's going to do it again. So this might be an opportunity for the county and the state to work together. And I think you should give Derek a phone call and ask him about
hemp. We're all connected as far as conversations-wise, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah, ask him about hemp.
if I can, sure. about another part of this discussion, the two callers.
Yeah.
Our efforts for ag parks. You know, we have one looking in Kilauea and looking at other opportunities to work closely together as community to develop these ag parks so people can actually come and grow, you know, crops.
Right, what is the status of the Kilauea Ag Park?
It's going through review right now again. It's been years.
It has been years.
Our economic development director, George Costa, has been working diligently with the community. You know, we have that issue with endangered species now that came up.
Now, how is it that, I saw that on your Holo Holo initiative chart, and it said that there's a review on how the impact of the birds. How is the...
How are the birds impacted?
Yeah, by a farm.
Well, there's the marsh area, now, the water area that is part of this ag park. And so because of that, and that's where they flock. And in that marsh area.
In the wetland area. Sure.
Are you sure about that? There's a marsh on that? I've been on that land.
You can't disturb the birds. There's a stream. And they're feeding on the crops. You can't disturb the birds. It's one of the problems.
Okay.
Yeah, it was part of the study that was done. So that was found afterwards. So now we have to deal with that part of the park.
Okay, because there's also issue of water, getting water.
Water was another one, yes.
Has that been resolved, you know?
It's not resolved yet. They're still going through that as well. And I know they were going to be talking about getting water from Moloa, I think, and getting it coming this way.
Well, 75 acres of community gardens, it would be really
nice. But we have opportunities on other parts of our island as well. So to follow up on that, that lady's vision. I think we look at that too from all parts, west side, east side, you know, as we map out opportunities for ag park types of ag for people.
Well, speaking of the east side and the west side and the north side and the south side and mapping out opportunities, right now the county charter review commission is taking a look at things to put on the ballot in 2014. And one of the things they're looking at is districts for the county council, where you would have, instead of all the at-large elections where everybody votes for, you know, seven people, you have your home district and you vote for one person inside your home district. And you have someone who represents the North Shore and somebody who represents the West Side and somebody who represents the South Side. And that way, whenever there's a decision that needs to be made for the island, the whole island, and Ni'ihau, that somebody is there from all of the different parts of the island. What do you think about districts for the council?
Well, first of all, I know, like you just said, it's at the Charter Review Commission coming up on Monday, the 28th. And so they will be discussing, what, seven districts, I think, overall. And there are other proposals for five districts, two at large. I mean, whatever it is. Personally, for our island of Kauai, I think we're small enough to, I think that the districting we're too small for districting. I think that we have enough coverage overall with the seven representatives island-wide for this, for how we laid out on Kauai. And I think, based on our population.
It's like 70,000 now, yeah?
Yeah. And so I've thought about this, and I think based upon the current structure, personally, my own personal, that we have enough coverage overall from the representation that is now, currently under.
Somebody called in a little while ago and wanted me to ask you the pros and cons of that sort of a system would be. Can you think of any benefits and maybe drawbacks of districting, of going to that system rather than leaving it at large? Can you think of any advantages to it?
Well, obviously, you're going to say from what part of the island, north side, east side, west side, right? And then staying within that one area of that island, our island, versus being responsible for our whole island. We're small enough that we can really work closely. I can get from one end to the other overall, you know. And so I think the coverage-wise, and based, again, on our population, the current system works well.
Well, let me give you an example here, because, you know, we had all these district meeting locations for the bus stop. And, you know, the bus is a system that goes over the whole island. Well, instead of having just one meeting, you had a meeting in Kalaheo, in Lihue, in Kapa'a, in Waimea, in Kilauea. So that way, everybody in the whole island gets to be part of the process. What would be bad about, what would be some of the pros of having a districts for the council?
Well, obviously, if it's districting, you would have more oversight in that one area, you know, and mm-hmm. I guess that would work. It works in on bigger, large communities and counties, obviously Honolulu and some of those. But personally, I just think personally for Kauai, I think we have enough understanding of our island overall that seven at large is something that works well.
You don't think sometimes it is like seven little tiny mayors on the county council?
Oh, seven. We have our challenges sometimes, but I think overall, you know, we got to keep firm on what is administrative, what is legislative, and we just go from there, everybody. And there's a lot of different people that come in from all parts of the island, obviously speaking to all of our council members, so there's better coverage there.
All right, let's go to the phones here and see what callers have to say.
Is that me?
Aloha, yes. Caller. Welcome to Out of the Box. You're on the air with the mayor.
Hi.
Aloha.
I really appreciated that last call regarding the hemp. With respect to healing the land, because listening to all those nice visions about farming, real farming on the land, is empty dreams because the land is so toxified. So I wanted to ask the mayor if there is any type of, I'm not sure what it would be called, any type of bonding or liability insurance that when these, and I say when, these chemical companies vacate these lands, will they be held liable for the damage they've done?
I cannot answer that question. I mean, I don't know, holding them accountable to the land.
You know, if I lease something, I have to put down a deposit, and if I damage it, I'll be responsible for the damages. Is anything like that there to hold these chemical companies liable?
You know, whatever decisions was made for the lands, it's all state land, so it was done that way. I'm not sure what agreements were made or what are part of the agreements. I can check with my legal team on my public works team to get information.
Yes, please do. I think that needs to be addressed a long time ago, okay. But the sooner the better. My second question is, was the future experimental seeding taken out of the bill?
I just got the bill this afternoon. So
the amended one.
The amended bill. So we need to look at that.
Does anybody there at the station know? Well,
no, you can get online now.
I think the moratorium was removed by the subcommittee. By the committee.
The moratorium was, yeah, but
yeah,
any future,
she's asking about the
planting with experimental GMOs.
Yeah, I think that was separated out as well. I think that Chair Fufaro said that should be dealt with in a separate bill. I think that was the feeling of the council.
Okay, because that came about during the time where everybody was saying their jobs were threatened. That was in the bill, and my question was, if this is for the future, how are these jobs threatened? Right. You know, because they're jobs that don't exist yet.
Right. Mm. Okay, well, thank you for the question. We'll let the
All
mayor
right,
respond.
Thank right you. Now.
Thank you, caller.
Yes, right. So it was taken off.
Yeah, I think it was taken off.
Yeah. Now, with respect to the pesticide residues in the soils...
and the issue of remediation.
Generally, if they are applied legally, if you're applying legal pesticides at a legal rate, you know, according to the regulations, you're not liable for, you know, the implications afterwards, unless there's something specific. In your lease agreement. But the state generally does not put that provision in there. So I would say that there's probably no legal liability for them if it's being applied legally. Now, if they're applying it at too heavy a dose, or they're using mixtures that don't, you know, aren't legal or whatever, then they would be responsible for that. But according to the EPA, if it's applied legally, they don't care.
Got it.
And we just got a text from an Akamai listener, and she was able to confirm that the GMO, experimental GMO crops, was taken out of the legislation.
Okay, let's go to the phones.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box. Aloha caller, are you there?
Oh, aloha. I didn't know it was me.
It's you,
yes,
it's you.
Thank you.
Thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Mayor, for
aloha.
Being open to questions and for your participation in this very Bill 2491 issue. This last round was a marathon, and thank you for your participation.
Yes.
How did you stay awake that whole time?
Earlier you mentioned one of your big concerns is the job losses that people are sharing with you that they're afraid of. Uh-huh. And with the bill in its current form, from what I understand, it's pretty minimal to what it was originally. And it seems like disclosure and buffer zones and a study really aren't a job threat. Do you see those as a job threat at this time?
No, my point of the job part of it was just making sure that we at least acknowledge that that was also another part of the emotional side of this entire discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was meaning. Now, the current buffer zone and disclosure, and of course the study, I've said from before, we support that. We just wanted to make sure that when we move into that, we do it the right way, get the right information, and the right people responsible to assure that we can enforce it.
But you don't see that as a job threat?
Not in its current...
Yeah, it seems pretty, very unthreatening to the companies in terms of having them to need to let go of people. It's more just about giving the community a right to know what they're spraying and have more safety around what they're spraying.
Sure,
and
like about schools.
Yeah.
I think
fear part will be, as others are saying, so what next? What could happen next and all of this stuff. So I just wanted to address and assure that that's part of our discussion overall. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, caller.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, Mayor. There's one other issue that's not being discussed is the chemical modified atmosphere that's being done daily over our island. We have over 2 jumbo jets dumping toxic chemicals into the sky. Is this connected to the GMO for irrigating and trapping their greenhouse gas for their farming applications? Could that be asked and explain why they're flying over our skies?
I guess we are not aware of this.
Not aware.
Do you have some evidence or some concerns of that area? You talk about 2 jumbo jets?
Oh, I think we lost that caller. All right, well,
okay.
Are you
I'm not aware of any jumbo jets.
Spraying.
Or spraying.
Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Aloha, caller. Aloha. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Like I say, I don't see how the mayor couldn't have been aware of this a year ago, that these companies didn't want to tell. They didn't want to say anything. When they gave documents, everything was blacked out in ink, black ink.
Oh, yeah, redacted.
Yeah,
redacted.
They didn't want to cooperate in any way, and anybody's likely suspicion was that if they told the truth, that what they were really doing, that they would have admitted to basically breaking laws, because I have no doubt they've broken so many laws.
Well, that's certainly the concern of many people.
Well, they're scared of the truth, and so naturally, the way our society has worked for decades, and the mayor should know this, especially with the big companies, like these big business companies, of course they're going to threaten to sue people. That's how it works. I mean, is that a surprise, And the one thing about, paradise to me, it's not like, the old days, it's like the way the Hawaiians used to live here. It's not Costco. It's not pulling up to fill your tank up with gasoline. It's being able to live in a little grass shack in Hawaii and go out and fish and eat bananas and stuff and tear them. you know, with, and just go, wow, this is like Mike Young, bless his heart. He died. I went to his funeral. He wrote that beautiful song, It Will Outlive the GMO Companies on Kauai. Beautiful Kauai, you know, rainbows in the sky, right? You know, all I need is a little country shack and my woman, you know, to be happy, you know? And the one thing you mentioned that caught me was that when you were a little boy, you said your parents worked on the plantations and you played in the cane fields and stuff. And I'll just say that the plantation mentality that was brought to Hawaii by a few business owners basically was the same slave plantation mentality in colonial the United States, where they'd import or hire local laborers and pay them the minimal wage, you know, so a few people could get rich off all this abundance of land to grow cane and pineapple.
Okay, and let's let the mayor respond to this anyway.
I'll leave you with one thing, okay. You know. I envision that you've already planned to veto this bill. I envision that you've already talked to people in the state and this and that, and they're good with it, and you've got the go-ahead, the green light, you know, and you really don't need to think about anything because you already know what to do.
So caller.
So I guess you're saying that you're thinking
I'll
for me.
In a second.
Caller. How does that come into a question? Can you make it a question?
Okay, well, I'm like what the other caller said, you know. I envision that these, and this is the negative vision, you know, that these GMO companies, they can't win a suit because they've broken so many laws. Even as we speak, they're probably destroying every past record possible that they can, you know. You know, that they're going to stay here, that when this is vetoed and it goes to the state will be derelict in duty just like it always has, and these companies will stay in Hawaii until kingdom come, until the land is totally used up, and then they'll leave, leaving it like decimated, like people say, and they don't care, they don't give a darn.
Okay, hey, let's all right, thank you for that. Let's get the mayor to respond. Thank you.
That's a vision, but it's an awfully dark vision.
Very dark vision.
Yeah. How do you respond to that?
I mean, you know, overall, we've come a long way. And I wanted to comment back on what he said about the plantation days and my growing up. I mean, parents work hard. You know, they're not the slave era. And that's who we are. That's who we were growing up. That's the lifestyle we had. And I'm here today, sitting before you as mayor. So thanking my parents and grandparents for all the hard work that they did, whether it be in the fields or in the administrative branch, it doesn't matter. Just want to say that. And then as far as his comments on just overall, you know, the companies, seed corn companies, I got to say, they too are at the table, at least trying to talk story, trying to reach a point where there may be some kind of compromise. We have a bill before us, like I said. It's going to be, you know, law eventually, you know, as we sort through a lot of the discussion pieces today. And so, you know, I'm not sure what the...
Well, I think he was just expressing his concerns, yeah. and his fears. You know, we all have, you wake up in the middle of the night, you think, oh no, what if this all goes wrong?
Yeah.
Sometimes,
yeah.
You know, these ideas occur to us, but hopefully you can stay grounded and stay firm on what's pono and what's right. And what's realistic. And then you get the best team you can get together. And then you go out there and you wake up in the morning and you get her done. You go out there and you figure out how to get her done.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple other things. I've got a couple of calls here. I want to take a break from the GMO calls here for just a second. But I want to get an update on a couple of projects that you've got on your Holo 2020 list there. One is the Blackpot Beach expansion.
Oh.
Can you let us know what's going on there? That's great interest to us.
Well,
sure,
you know, right now, as we speak, like I talked a little bit about the restrooms that are being upgraded and repaired. There's the expansion of the back portion.
Sure.
Former Sheehan property area.
Former Sheehan, yeah.
So that too.
Is that in court? Is it?
No, we have that under our county right now, that particular area. We've gone through a lot of discussions, and happy to say that we now have that area part of our county.
Oh, great. Okay.
Program. So what we're looking at right now, of course, the overall master plan.
Yeah.
But we're also looking at, sooner than later, offering some parking back there, eventually trying to get as much cars off the beach and parking back there for now while we go through the process of this planning. I wanted to not have it just sit for now and look at utilizing a portion for additional parking, opening up that restroom back there, too, so we have another opportunity for restroom.
Second facility. Oh, that would be probably really appreciated.
Just for now, I just want to make clear, people, because they're going to have a chance to speak on how they want to see this whole area. You got that back portion. You got the, of course, Blackpot area. And we also have Hodge property right across, adjacent to the pier area.
Right.
So that Hodge property, currently we're working on taking down some of the fencing around that area, opening it up for more day use with picnic tables.
Oh, that'd be nice.
For now.
So the county owns that now?
Yes. The Hodge, if I'm looking at the pier right there to the left.
Right, yeah.
And then, of course, the back portion.
No, left, Dave, left.
The other left.
So, I don't know if you've noticed there's fencing along there. We're going to take the fencing away.
Tear that fence down, Mr. Mayor.
And offer some parking in the front portion and for more day use and picnic use for now. With the bigger picture being the master plan process for that area. And so that's the current status of the Blackpot Beach area.
Okay. One other thing then is the landfill. This is one of your big planks.
Before we do the landfill, I was going to ask about another big opportunity for expansion, and that is the Cocoa Palms.
Oh, okay.
Because that's kind of building on the same theme of Blackpot and expanding the park and stuff. And I got to ask you, we did a show a couple months ago about Cocoa Palms and about the restoration, about the cultural center that was going to go in there. And then I think it was the very next day out of left field, the story comes in with these developer guys are going to come in and rebuild it the way it was.
They put up construction fences.
They put up the debris fencing. And then I was very, very confused. And so I thought, well, you know, when the mayor comes on the show, we'll just ask him, what is the deal with Cocoa Palms? What is going on over there? What's happening?
Well, you know, as we all know, our whole island, everybody knows about Cocoa Palms, precious Cocoa Palms.
Sure.
And so, you know, been frustrated, been talking a lot to the owners and trying to see how we could work together numerous times. And unfortunately, nothing has happened up until now. And so we took the lead in looking at the current Iniki ordinance and looking at repealing that. And that was in the process. With the bigger picture being a cultural park.
Which I think when people heard about that, I don't know other people, I just speak for myself.
Yeah.
My heart kind of opened up and I just wanted to sink because I got so excited. I'm like, wow, what a beautiful tribute to the Cocoa Palms and the Gustlander tradition, and then also going back 1,000 years, because that was the pico, yeah?
Yeah, that's the
belly button of the whole Hawaiian archipelago.
Right.
So, I mean, what a beautiful, the whole great sacred Wailua. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And I got so excited because it seems like, it's not every day that something wonderful is about to happen. So, what's going on?
So, to date, SMA permits were revoked. Iniki ordinance repeal was initiated. I talked about that. Prudential assumed ownership and entered into a sales contract with Cocoa Palms Hui. There's a Cocoa Palms Hui there who owns that area. Prudential does. And then, the bigger thing was to actually clear that. My hope was to actually clear that whole area.
Right, clear it.
Clear it down.
Open it up.
Make it, you know, really nice and open and cleared.
Because the landscape in there is gorgeous.
Right. And so that, too, came at a big price, right, to actually do it the right way, demoing that area, doing it environmentally safe, shipping that away. I don't want that all going into our landfill. You know, all of the above.
Sure.
But that was very costly. So in trying to work it out as the owner came back to the table, because their initial footprint of that existing hotel area is still there with the Iniki ordinance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they were to come back and look at the existing footprint, along with a cultural park, along with helping demo, so those were all of the above to get it done more in a quick, expedited way versus having to look at other ways to demo and then maybe transfer into a park or some kind of other hotel setting within the existing footprint. So currently, you see a dust fence went up.
Yeah.
And so a dust fence without action means nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Big round.
So my bottom line is, the hope is, right now as we speak, with all the parts that I just mentioned, the demo, bringing back Cocoa Palms to its existing footprint, developing of a cultural park, partnership with community organizations, Hawaiian organizations, Kauai Community College.
Such a great opportunity, yeah.
So we are currently trying to work it hand in hand where we can maybe get the best of everything and assist in all of the above. Demo, bringing it back
removal,
to the same.
Yeah.
Removal. Cultural park. Hawaiian cultural,
like educational center.
Piece. Maybe a satellite area for Cocoa from the Kauai Community College.
For KCC. Oh, really? KCC. Yeah.
So,
oh, wow.
I'm just sharing examples. And the bigger picture was facilitating this.
Give me chicken skin. It's so great.
And, you know, the other thing, there's a grant in aid approved by the state legislature in the Hawaiian Islands Land Trust.
Yeah, HILT.
Exactly. We'll convene a community-based planning process. So they're also looking at this opportunity with this funding to do a community process. We talked about doing a big white tent kuka session.
Oh, that would be great.
Just to hear what the people
thought
and wanted, they see how they see Cocoa Palms to be in the future.
That would be great. So a big kuka.
That's happening at well. So the Hawaii Island Land Trust is looking at that part. We're working closely currently with the owner and the new Ohana Hui, who is actually supposedly getting ready to clear it. And work closely with our people, our planning department, our legal team, our public works department, and just in the preliminary stages. That's the most action that has happened there for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So we are hopeful that we can get more action sooner than later. With the bigger picture, again, just coming from what discussions I've had, not even getting to the community part of it, which they're going to have an opportunity, again, to bring the hotel back to a current footprint, along with the park, along with the demo, along with partnership. And that's kind of like the bigger picture.
Okay.
To date.
So the people we had on from HILT then.
Jennifer Luck.
Jennifer. Trying to get involved there, and it sounds like they will have the opportunity then.
Yeah, well, that sounds good because.
Yeah. We met with her.
Yeah, because now, I mean, everybody knows what a dump that place is.
Yeah,
it's like an eyesore.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. One other thing then we'll get back to the calls, is the landfill.
That's a good segue from one dump into another.
Right, yeah. That was a big platform of yours when you were running for mayor. The first thing you did after you became mayor, you proposed a site. It didn't fly. Went back to the drawing boards. And where is that process now?
Well, we're currently coming out of the EIS. Yeah, the EIS process, environmental process. The location is up in Ma'alo. Centrally located.
And Dave doesn't know where Ma'alo is. I was trying to tell him earlier today.
Above Kapaya? Is that?
Yes. Right
above. By the power plant?
Right up there. Way up in.
How far up? Like five miles?
Three miles maybe up from the plant.
Okay.
There. But the bottom line, where we're at right now, is going through the whole environmental process. We've had community meetings. We've even taken community members and community leadership on a tour up there. I wanted them to see it and feel it versus just seeing maps.
Yeah, just talk
so
about it.
So we opened it up to community who was interested, getting on our buses, and took them up touring up there to see the location. So that took place. So the community has been formed every step of the way. We just were ready to go back to community, I think next month, to revisit and update where we're at. So, and then the other part recently was looking at access, which is the best route to get there, utilizing some of the roadways and the bypass roads, which would
and
open
some of
up.
The some of the Cane Hall roads too.
Yes,
yeah,
using some of the bypass and Cane Hall roads to open up more opportunities. This is truly a partnership. You have your watershed people at the table. I wanted to make sure we collaborate and make sure everybody's at the table. Our farmers there, our ranchers at the table, our ag ADC is at the table, our state people are at the table, everybody working and talking collectively on how this can be a win-win. The bigger picture is the resource recovery park, where we're going to do an aggressive diversion program in this park area, and then there's a landfill. So the bigger picture was to do as much as we can to keep everything out of the landfill.
So this would be kind of like your birthday party where 94% get diverted.
100% gets diverted.
Zero waste. Zero waste. That's a vision.
There's a big effort here.
That's
and
a
so
vision.
That's the vision. And we're doing many, many different projects and programs to build towards that. But the bigger picture, of course, we do have to still have to do a cost analysis and find out what the actual cost will be. But in the meantime, we're taking one step at a time, get the environmental issues. Water was a big issue. Site was a big issue. Odor was a big issue. All of that. And so far, every step of the way, we're making progress one step at a time. And our next step is getting back into community to give them an update to our consultants.
All right. Okay. Very good. Thanks for that update.
Well, let's go back to the phones then, yeah?
Okay.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thank you for being so patient and waiting. This is Out of the Box, and our guest this afternoon is Mayor Bernard P. Carvalho, Jr., our mayor. And do you have a question or comment for him, the mayor?
Yeah. I'm glad I got through because this could be the last day I live. I was just like I'm having a heart attack trying to call you.
Oh, well, I hope you're okay.
The truth, you know, that all kinds of things can happen to you. You're like, people worry about the smart meters. Well, what about if you stand up for truth against Monsanto and Syngenta, and then they hire their guys to come out and put this sound gear and all kinds of gear on you that give a person seizures. And the number two, the only two reasons that I think that I could make you not want to pass that bill for Monsanto, and number one is that you get paid off, or number two, that you're afraid. And we want to hear solutions, and I want you to be the hero. I want you to stand up to big business in a way that can help change the world for the better. If you educate yourself, you won't have to surround yourself with people who are educated. You know, it might be hard to watch some of these scientific documentaries, but if you could watch the film, you know, Genetic Roulette. Genetic Roulette, The Vanishing Bees. Okay, because this stuff that they're doing is also killing the bees, our major pollinators. And the other thing that they're doing, because I listened to KKCR and I heard a scientist talk about how all the reefs are dying in the Hawaiian Islands and all the fish are dying. And you know why? Because of Syngenta. The only place that's not sick is on the Big Island, because the Big Island is too hot for them to use their stuff. If you would educate yourself about the truth, you would never do that to your psychopathic companies, okay? Literally, that's what's happened to America. It's become corporatized. It's a corporatocracy. It's the rich elite ruling. And if you stand up for right, you can become a hero, you know. You don't want to be a hero, but if you do, all life on this planet is threatened if you don't stand up for what's right. I mean,
do you have a question?
If you would take your efforts to replace the GMO with hemp, it would save the world. So there's another documentary you must watch called Hempsters.
Hempsters.
Plant the Seed. And The Union, which is also about medical marijuana, which heals many people. I am so anti-drug. I could be a DEA agent. I really hate all drugs, even pharmaceutical drugs. But the thing is, medical marijuana helps heal people, and these people on the West Side could also help heal themselves. So that's why you should watch The Union. But it's towards the end that has a section about hemp. Now,
well, thank you, caller. You're really
world famous, and people will make documentaries about you, and I will love and respect you if you pass the bill. Thanks. Now do it. Bye.
Very passionate caller.
Very passionate.
Really appreciate getting calls like that, folks.
I hope she survives. Then
I think she will. Okay. She sounded like she was on the mend, you know, as she got through her phone call.
Mm-hmm. All right, caller, you're on the air. Hello?
How's it?
Good. Aloha. Welcome to Aloha. Out of the Box.
Yeah, calling from Waimea, Kauai.
Yes.
How's it going there, Mia?
Aloha.
Aloha, it's Clayton Kubo.
Hey, Clayton.
Yeah, I guess I saw you there. One of the stakeholders there at your table, when, whatever meeting you're going to call. You know, I really hope so, yeah?
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I really hope so. At least, you know, on due respect, yeah?
Yes.
That's the way I look at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm right now up on a mountain. I'm kind of doing some exercising up here.
Okay. Fresh air, you know? Yeah?
Yeah, and as I can see, yeah?
Yes.
It was planting. And it's still planting. You know, I guess they got to do this, yeah?
Uh-huh.
And probably tomorrow morning, they're going to be spraying on us again, yeah?
Uh-huh.
But they was doing it this morning. You know, so
uh-huh.
As of I can see the boundary, I don't think so they're using that boundary yet. You know, so
okay.
I guess, like you said, yeah, 9 months, this is going to take in effect. I really hope so that, you know, you're going to consider the guys that are being impacted, the people, this whole island. You know, I really hope so. You know, I really put in my trust in you right now because the county council, they're done already. Okay. Uh-huh. So I put in all my trust in you, my years of going through this to you, you know, so, you know, let's see something happen. You know, I think we've been waiting for this to happen really darn long.
Yes, I hear you, Clayton. Yes.
You know, I really hope you're going to make this happen. You know, that's why I'm asking you right now. Are you going to make this happen?
I'm working on it, as you heard me speak. On what I'm trying to do and get the information needed and what is before me right now. And I've told you that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to really make this happen? You know, that's a question I need right now.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be waking up in the morning hearing the machine going and thinking, is the wind blowing toward us?
Right.
You know, any place on this west side, Kekaha, Kamakani, Pakala, I stand on a mountain right now. I look in all, as far as I can see, Kamakani, that I guess that is Dao,
Kamakani.
Where you guys look and see from the highway, they get choked ground over there, like brown right now. We're talking dirt.
Dirt.
We're not talking grass. We're not talking cover, we're talking dirt.
So it's open fields right now, yeah?
Oh, they were going for it. Even my oldest, you know, my eldest son, he even said, you know, Dad, where you at? Sean Pepe, what's going on? Oh, Dad, where your camera? Go get your camera.
Oh, man.
The dust plume was major.
Ground control is really important there. You don't want to leave the fields open too much.
I'm putting all my trust in you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Clayton.
Please help us. Help this island. Help everybody on this island, not just a handful. Yeah.
All right.
Help,
well, thank you, caller. Appreciate it.
Mahalo, Clayton.
Okay.
Yeah. Aloha.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Would that be me?
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Oh, thank you. Aloha, Kako.
Aloha.
Aloha, Honorable Mayor. Thank you for being present for this discussion. Mayor, at this time, I would like to direct some attention to the proposed horizontal well drilling on Mount Wai'ale'ale. And I haven't heard any more on that since the community
meeting
that occurred several months back in the school at in Puhi.
Oh, yes.
No, Puhi,
yes.
The Kaina, Hanama'uyu.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering, what is the status on that? First, I'd like to say I absolutely do not support any drilling.
Okay.
Up Mokta in Wai'ale'ale.
You know, to be upfront, I'm not really sure where we're at right now with that particular project. But I know there was a community meetings held for that, and there was some major opposition to that, from what I understand.
Yes. Yes.
And
I
so I can get that back to you if you want to. You can call my office, and we can get the information for you regarding our water department.
You like give out your number?
241-4912.
Okay, yes, I do have your number, okay. Mayor. Okay, that'd be great. I'll contact you to
please
have
do,
a follow-up.
Please do, and we can give you an update on exactly that particular project, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, thank you, caller.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, wow, okay, I got through. Hi.
Aloha.
This is Andrea calling.
Andrea.
Thanks so much for being on the show.
This is Andrea Brower?
Andrea Brower.
Yes, this is Andrea Brower. Hi.
Aloha, Andrea.
Yeah.
So just a few points. I know you've been talking about a lot of stuff. I was really excited to hear about the bus numbers and stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah.
To the controversial issue of 2491, very quickly, I agree with you, Mayor, that this isn't at all about just being a hero and just passing a bill. It really matters what's in it, how, and even if it gets implemented.
Right.
And I understand that you have enforcement and implementation concerns, especially based on some of the history with other bills.
Right.
And this is a really big deal. And it seemed like some of your main concerns are with buffers, and with the 9-month rulemaking process and kind of the flexibility that's currently in the bill, it seems like there's a lot of solutions to any of these problems.
Uh-huh.
You know, most other ag counties do have buffer zones, so there's a lot of models to draw from. There might be research to do, but we do have expertise here and other places that we can draw on. And I don't personally actually think that violations of buffer zones are going to be a huge issue to deal with, because
okay.
it'll be pretty visible and it will cause a lot of bad PR for these companies, and there's a lot of spotlight on them right now.
Okay.
So just the point being that there's likely solutions to any implementation concerns. So I don't really see that as being a valid reason for not trying to move forward with the bill. We just have another
minute or two left, so if you could be quick, please.
Yes, okay. Just on legal concerns, I know that the bill has passed, it has morphed, and you're going to want to get understand these. But, of course, there's always multiple ways to answer legal questions, so it seems really important to get advice from multiple independent perspectives.
Yes.
And with the state, it's great that they've started to get engaged with this. But the clear starting place for everybody working together is for the state to start implementing their own laws that are already on the books and that they have been negligent on.
Right.
So that is it, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Andrea. Aloha.
Okay, aloha.
Okay, we got time for one more quick call then, and then that's all the time we have for the call. So,
aloha, caller.
Yes,
you are the last caller today.
If you could be quick.
Thank you so much. And I feel bad because I did call once already, and I was the one that brought up the video, the film,
yeah.
The short film, you know, on the west side.
With the fish, yeah, with the fish. Tilapia.
Well, the thing that I wanted to point out was, in the newspaper today I read that Kirby Kessler, he with Pioneer, I believe, he said that they weren't doing any harm. You know, he keeps insisting that they're not doing any harm to anybody, that they're very responsible. Yet in this video, it is clear, and that's why I want to stress, if you can see the video, I mean, you're welcome to go to my Facebook page, and it's in there.
What's your Facebook page, caller?
Well, my name is Joey, J-O-I, Bonaparte, like Napoleon Bonaparte. You know, and it's clear that they are doing harm and that they are not cleaning up their mess. And like another caller did mention earlier, and I did mention that the west side, I haven't been over there in a while, sorry to say, but the videos that I've seen are showing such a barren wasteland, you know, and they're not really taking care of the soil. There needs to be nutrients put in the soil, and we can be doing a better job. And that's what I stated in my testimony, Mayor, to you, that there's other things that we can be planting. And I had mentioned, and other people have mentioned, industrial hemp. Because from growing, for instance, industrial hemp, we can start other businesses and put...
Oh, value-added products, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, other products, you know, whether it be rope or clothing or oil or hemp seed, you know. So I just want to encourage you. And the workers also, that this isn't the end of the road. I mean, I'd like to see the GMO companies go away. That's my hope. There's other jobs we can create with industrial hemp. I am so pro this. It's such a great thing, and I do encourage you to watch the videos that this woman a couple calls back did recommend. And I really appreciate you. I think you're a really nice guy, Mayor, and I really know that in your heart you want to do the right thing. And thank you guys for having the mayor on, and a hui ho.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you, caller. Those are very kind words.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have now. Mayor, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much being out here
this
again.
This is great. I love you coming up
love
here.
Love it. We're here. Yeah. Thank you to the callers, to the listeners, and aloha to Kauai. And let us continue to work together.
Fantastic.
Okay. Well, we'll be back.
Shake on that, yeah.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks with our Out of the Box. And next week, Jimmy Trujillo will be on. Stay tuned next. Acoustic Luau with Marin.
All right, malama pono, everybody, and ahui ho.